Okay, welcome to the Shiur in Sfarno, Parshas Chayisara. Wanted to look at a Sfarno which we referenced briefly yesterday. We described... the Torah describes how Rivka Imenu was sent back to become the wife of Yitzchak. So we read in the Chumash Perachov Dalet Pasuk Samech Aleph, Vatokom Rivka v'naroseha, Rivka rose up together with her maidens, her servants, Vatirkavna al hagmalim, they rode on the camels, Vatilachna acharei ho'ish, and they all followed the man over here is Eliezer, Vayikacha eved es Rivka v'yelach. So the slave, again, Eliezer, took Rivka, and he went. So it's a striking pasuk on two levels. So first of all, while it's true that there are different terms which are used to refer to Eliezer throughout the entire story, interestingly enough, he's never actually called Eliezer, right? It's only Chazal who referred to him as Eliezer. In the story itself, he's never given a name. Sometimes he's referred to as Ha'ish, the man. Sometimes he's referred to as Ho'eved, the slave. But this is the only pasuk in the story where he's referred to using both of those terms in the very same pasuk. Vateilachna acharei ho'ish, they went to follow the man. Vayikach ho'eved es Rivka vayilach. And then the man, the slave rather, took Rivka and he went. So that's one thing that's striking. Why does it start off referring to him as Ho'ish, and then within a few words, start referring to him as Ho'eved? Why? Right. Right, so 100%. I mean, it's going to have to be something along those lines that, you know, he wore two hats, obviously both black. But, you know, in what sense is he switching roles right here in this pasuk? It's an interesting place for him to be switching roles in the middle of the pasuk. How is he switching roles exactly? So that's the first thing we have to explore. Also, the truth is the whole second half of the pasuk seems extraneous, right? In other words, Rivka goes, Vateilachno acharei ho'ish, she goes to follow the man, right? So in other words, you could picture this entourage on the way back to Eretz Yisrael. Vayikacho eves Rivka vayilach, the man then took, the slave then took Rivka, and he went. What was going on before? What does it mean that he took her? I mean, he physically picked her up and put her on the back of the camel? Is that what it means? You know, they're already walking. They're already on the way to Eretz Yisrael. So what's added by Yikacho Eves Rivka Vayilach? So the Sfarno doesn't ask either of these questions directly, but it would seem from his remarks that he's trying to address both of these questions. So on the second half of the pasuk, Vayikacho Eves Rivka, the slave took Rivka. Miad shluchei ha'av shemasru l'shluchei ha'ba'al. He took her from the agents of the father who were giving her over to the agents of the husband. So let's explain what's going on over here. This terminology that she was being transferred from the agents of the father to the agents of the husband is a term which the Gemara uses in Ksubas Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis to describe a form of nisuin, to describe a form of how the woman is getting married. In this particular case, Rivka is a minor, right? That's the tradition that we have. She's underage. She's 3 years old. She's under bas mitzvah. Her father has passed away, according to Chazal. You know, her father passes away during the story, as Chazal tell it. And yet, the representatives of the father hand over Rivka to Eliezer. What role does Eliezer play? So as we said yesterday, I think when we read the story, you know, just on the simple level, we see that Eliezer's role is primarily that one of a shadchan. You know, he was sent to Haran to find the wife for Yitzchak, to identify her. But the actual act of marriage, we usually assume, takes place when Rivka will be brought back to Eretz Yisrael, and then she'll have chuppah v'kiddushin, you know, she'll have the marriage ceremony together with Yitzchak. The Svarno learns that that was not just the role of Eliezer. Eliezer was not simply a shadchan, but he was actually a shliach. He was an agent commissioned by Yitzchak to not only find the wife, but to actually create the marriage while she was still in Haran. He was authorized to represent Yitzchak in creating the marriage. So that's the lashon, that's the language that the Svarno uses. The agents representing Besuel gave over Rivka to Eliezer, the agent representing Yitzchak, and once she came into Eliezer's domain, she now, by virtue of that, became married to Yitzchak. He was able to facilitate the marriage on behalf of Yitzchak. So, continues the Svarno, Uviyosa oz nesua legamre, since now at that point she became totally married. What's that? Right, so that's that Gemara in Ksubas. In other words, that not only was it Kiddushin al Yedei Shliach, which we understand can take place, but even there can be a concept of Nisuin al Yedei Shliach. In other words, if she's in the domain, the exclusive domain, as a ketana, as a minor, if she's in the exclusive domain of somebody who's representing the Baal, who's representing her husband, that not only creates Kiddushin, it creates Nisuin. That's the Lashon of the Svarno. Uviyosa oz nesua legamri. He's very clear about that. At that point, Rivka became totally married to Yitzchak. Not only the first step of betrothal of kiddushin, but the second step of full-fledged marriage of nisuin, hoisa giveres. So then Rivka turned, you know, she was the mistress of the house. V'haya ha'ish oz eved lo. And the man, Eliezer, who previously, his relationship to Rivka was as a man representing Yitzchak, but now that he accepted her into his domain, and Yitzchak and Rivka became married, so now Eliezer's relationship to Rivka was that he was her slave. She had now married Yitzchak, and Eliezer, who previously had been the slave of Yitzchak, now became the slave of Yitzchak and Rivka. He became he became her asset, in a sense. Yeah.
Does that go against what the Svarno said before, in the sense that if Yitzchak didn't like her, he could have a different wife or stepsister?
Right, so that was initially. That was initially. In other words, there was a possibility. The idea of Yitzchak not liking her was me. It wasn't the Svarno, so you can blame it on me. But there was a possibility. The Svarno had said that Yitzchak might have ended up marrying Ma'acha, right, her half-sister. But apparently, you know, the mission, the charge that Yitzchak gave Eliezer was, look, I trust you. You know, you figure out whether I should marry Rivka or Ma'acha, and I'll trust you. You know, whatever you decide, I'm relying on you to not only find a suitable woman, but to actually, you know, create the marriage on my behalf, so that when you bring her back, she'll be Mrs. Yitzchak already, you know, and I put my trust in you entirely. That was the charge, apparently, that he gave her. Yeah. Right, so you don't see it in the psukim. You don't see it in the psukim that Yitzchak is directly involved in the commissioning of Eliezer. I guess the Svarno understands it, A, as a svara. In other words, Yitzchak's a grown man. He's 40 years old at this point. So in other words, you know, certainly he would have a role to play in this decision. We'll also see one word in this particular pasuk, which the Svarno apparently is interpreting to understand that what's going on over here is marriage. What word is that? So the word vayikach. Vayikach ho'eved es Rivka. Right? So we asked, the slave took Rivka. So we asked before, what does that mean? He took Rivka. He picked her up, he threw her over his shoulder, he threw her on top of the camel. You know, what does it mean? Vayikach, he took her. She was already walking, she was already going. So Rabbi Kuberman points out, the Svarno doesn't say this explicitly, but it seems to be what the Svarno is driving at. Rabbi Kuberman in his notes points out that we find Chazal identify the language of Vayikach, he took, as a language that is associated with Kedushin, with betrothal. Right? You know, that's a way of describing marriage. So if that's the case, the way to translate the Pasuk according to the Svarno on a Pshat level is that is as follows. Vatokam Rivka v'naroseha. Rivka arose with her maidservants. Vatirkavna ahagmalim. Vatelachna achareho ish. So she, they rode on the camels. They followed the man. Vayikach ho'eved es Rivka. And the slave at that point married Rivka, meaning he didn't marry her personally, but he executed marriage on behalf of Yitzchak, Vayelach. And then he went, having fulfilled this mission to create, not only to find a wife for Yitzchak, but to actualize the process of Kiddushin and Nisuin while they were still there in Haran. Says the Svarno, that accounts for the fact that the Pasuk starts off describing him as an Ish, and then ends up describing him as an Eved. In the beginning of the Pasuk, his relationship to Rivka is that of an Ish. But once she marries Yitzchak, which happens right here in the Pasuk, she comes back to Yitzchak already as his wife, not just as his fiancée, but as his wife. She comes back already married to Yitzchak. So at that point, Eliezer becomes her Eved. So the switch in term relates to the changed relationship that this man and Rivka now have with one another. It paints the picture of what's going on over here in somewhat different terms than we might think about ordinarily. Let's turn our attention back to Yitzchak. So the psukim together continue. V'Yitzchak ba mibo be'er lachai roi. Yitzchak came from having gone to this place, Be'er Lachai Roi, V'hu Yoshev Be'eretz HaNegev, he dwelled in the south. V'yetze Yitzchak losuach basodeh lifnos orev, Yitzchak went out, losuach, which Chazal translate as to meditate, to daven. Yitzchak went out to daven in the field, lifnos orev, towards the evening. V'yisa eino v'yar v'nei gmalim bo'im. He lifted up his eyes, he saw, and behold, there were camels, and of course, Rivka is coming towards him, and, you know, they first meet at that point, again, as we just said a few moments ago. According to the Svarno, when they first meet, they're already married. It, sort of expedited the dating process in a really, really, a pretty, pretty fast kind of way. The Svarno has some interesting comments on what Yitzchak is doing at this particular juncture. So we know Chazal say that Vayetze Yitzchak Losuach Basodeh means that he went out to daven. Chazal say from here that Yitzchak Avinu was the one who instituted Tfilas Mincha because it was Lifnos Arev, it was towards the end of the day when he was davening Mincha. What was he doing at Be'er Lachai Roi? What was he doing over there? The Psukim don't say. So the Svarno says as follows. Lehispalil. Why did Yitzchak go to Be'er Lachai Roi? He went there to daven. After all, Hagar, his shivcha, Avram's shivcha, maidservant, had gone to daven there in Be'er Lachai Roi, and she had been successful in davening there. That's where she saw the malach, etc. So Yitzchak went to Be'er Lachai Roi to daven. What was he davening for? He was davening that Eliezer should be successful. Right, so this comes to Rav Moshe's point from before. You know, in the psukim, you don't really see Yitzchak being so involved in this whole shidduch. So the Svarno is telling us he is involved, he's just involved in a different way. Eliezer's doing the legwork. You know, he's going out there and finding the girl. Yitzchak was told that he wasn't supposed to leave Eretz Yisrael, right? We find that in next week's parasha, in Parsha's Toldos. Yeah, Hashem says to Yitzchak, "Al terid Mitzrayim, don't leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Mitzrayim. You have to stay in Eretz Yisrael." Fine, okay. So he can't go to Haran to pursue the shidduch himself, but it doesn't mean that he's oblivious to what's going on. He's davening as Eliezer is on his quest, davening that Eliezer should be successful. It's a reasonable thing. You know, he wants to get married to the right girl as well. So he goes to Be'er Lachairoi. V'kodem shehispalel kvar nishlam inyono b'charon v'karvo ishto lovo. But consider this, says the Sfarno. By the time Yitzchak goes to Be'er Lachairoi to daven, his tefillah has already been answered. Right? In other words, it takes a while for Eliezer to come back from Charan to Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak is just coming from Be'er Lachairoi when Eliezer and Rivka are already basically back in Eretz Yisrael already. So in other words, it comes out that when Yitzchak himself went to Be'er Lachairoi to daven that he should have a shidduch, it was already done. Not only was the girl found, but according to the Sfarno, she was already married to Yitzchak, unbeknownst to him. You know, Eliezer had already made Rivka his wife without his conscious knowledge at that time, with his agreement. You know, in other words, he was agreeable to whatever Eliezer would think was appropriate. It wasn't a marriage under false pretenses, but his tefillah had been answered even before he knew about it. Al derech, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya, terem yikra'u vani e'ene. The Ribbono shel Olam answers the tefillos of tzaddikim even before they call out. Right? Look at that. Yitzchak goes to Be'er Lachairoi to daven that he should have a good shidduch, and before he even gets to Be'er Lachairoi, his tefillos are answered. Good. Okay. So he's leaving Be'er Lachairoi. Unbeknownst to him, the tefillah that he uttered there was answered. And look at this. Vayetze Yitzchak l'suach basodeh. So now Yitzchak goes out to daven, as Chazal translate the word l'suach, in the field. What are you davening? I mean, you just davened. According to Chazal in the Gemara Brachos, that Vayetze Yitzchak l'suach basodeh means davening, and we don't really know why he was in Be'er Lachairoi. So okay, it's beautiful, he's davening. But according to the Sfarno, he just davened. He's leaving Be'er Lachairoi because he just davened Be'er Lachairoi. And now you're telling me that as he's leaving, he goes out to the field to daven again. What's he davening again? So says the Sfarno, Nota min haderech al das lishpoch sicho lifnei Hashem basodeh. He went to pour out his heart before Hashem in the field. So why did he go to the field? Shelo yafsikuhu ovrei drochim. Right? He went to the field because it was a private place off the road. And, you know, this way he would be able to daven undisturbed. Afal pi shekvar hispalel bebe'er lachairoi. And this is despite the fact that he already davened in Be'er Lachairoi. Nonetheless, as he's on the way home from Be'er Lachairoi, he leaves the field, he leaves the road, he goes into the field, and he davens a second time. Now, why is he davening a second time? So Svara doesn't talk about it. It's possible that the reason he davened a second time and the lesson that we're supposed to learn from Yitzchak davening a second time is based on a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos talks about certain things that srichin chizuk, that they need constant strengthening. You know, it's not enough to just do this and say, okay, I did it, checked off the box, I'm done. I need to strengthen this inyan, this concept, on a constant basis. One of those things that srichin chizuk, that requires constant strengthening, is tefillah. Right, the Gemara in that context, you know, quotes the famous pasuk we say Elul time, Kaveh el Hashem chazak v'yameis libecho v'kaveh el Hashem. Put your trust in Hashem, yearn for Hashem, and again, v'kaveh el Hashem, and yearn for Hashem. Tefillah isn't something that you just do and you're done with. Tefillah is a constant. And it would seem that the Sfarno is emphasizing that we learned this concept from Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak is davening his heart out that he should find the proper shidduch. So it's not just like, you know, he goes to Amuka and, you know, says a couple of kapitlach tehillim and then goes home and says, okay, you know, I did my thing, you know, we're done. He's davening when he goes to Be'er Lachairoi. He's davening when he's coming home from Be'er Lachairoi. Any opportunity that he has, he's davening and davening and davening over again. He understands that this is not just a one-time endeavor to daven, but tzarich chizuk, it needs to be strengthened. And we learned the importance of strengthening tefillah, davening over and over again, from Yitzchak Avinu. So that, I think, is just a little bit of Musar that comes out from the psukim when you analyze them the way the Sfarno does. In Perek Chaf Hei, so Avram Avinu passes away. It's described in Perek Chaf Hei Pasuk Ches that Vayigva Vayomas Avram. Avram expired, and he davened, and he passed away. B'seva tova, at a good old age. Zokain, he was old. V'soveya, and he was satisfied. It's a very interesting term. He was old, and he was satisfied. So the Sfarno just writes on v'soveya. Mikol mash his ava liros v'la'asos biyomov. Everything that he had desired to see and do in his lifetime, he was zocha to see and to do. He was satisfied. The truth is, if you think about it, that's an unbelievable statement. I think we all can appreciate how special a thing it was that Avraham Avinu had that. You know, Chazal say in general, ein adam meis b'chatzi tavaso biyado. When a person dies ordinarily, you know, he's lucky if he's achieved half of the things that he wants to achieve in life. That's the way it normally goes. But apparently there are exceptions to that rule, and somebody great of the level of Avraham Avinu really looked back at his life at the very end and said, you know, everything that I wanted to do and to see, I was zocha to do and to see. He was content, he was satisfied at the end of his life. A very beautiful bracha. What's that? Well, Chazal tell us that Yishmael did tshuva. So perhaps that's actually implied over here as well, that, you know, even Yishmael, who was potentially a cause for disappointment, you know, in the end of the day, he was satisfied with Yishmael as well. Maybe, you know, Sfarno doesn't say that directly. That's me. You know, you can blame it on me, not on the Sfarno. But you know, perhaps that's included in this idea. What's that? Right. So I guess even with that, even with the 5 years that we're missing, he still said, okay, you know, but the things that I really wanted to do and accomplish. So how do you understand this statement? You know, I mean, everyone, you can always find other things that you want to do and accomplish. I mean, you know, can a person ever say, there's nothing left to do, I did everything? I guess what it means is the major things that he had wanted to do with his life, you know, he had done. There's always room for something else to do, but, you know, in the big picture, the major things that he had, you know, the major accomplishments he set out to accomplish, he felt that he had done. The pasuk then ends off describing the death of Avraham Avinu, and it says, Vayeosef el amov, he was gathered to his people. What does it mean that he was gathered to his people? Especially because, you know, we already had two terms earlier in the pasuk describing his death, vayigva vayomos, right? He expired and he died. So what's vayeyosef alamov? He was gathered to his people. It doesn't mean that he was buried with his people, because Terach, the pasuk tells us, died and presumably was buried back in Haran. So that was a long way away. So it's not like they buried him in a family plot. I mean, they buried him with Sarah, but they didn't bury him with his biological ancestors. So what does it mean, Vayosef Alamov? So the Sfarno writes, Ne'asaf el tzror ha'chayim. It means that Avraham Avinu was gathered to the bond of everlasting life, L'chayei ha'olam, for eternal life, im tzadikei hadoros, with the tzadikim of the previous generations, Sheheim amov v'domin lo. They are his people. Vayeosef el amov doesn't mean that he joined up with his biological ancestors. It means he joined up with the people who were like him. His neshama went to Olam Haba and was in the company of like-minded tzaddikim. They're his am. They're his people. They're the people who are like Avraham Avinu. If you recall, the Sfarno, in his introduction to the commentary on Chumash, wrote that one of the things that he wanted to accomplish with the commentary was to show where the Chamisha Chumshei Torah talk about Olam Haba, where they talk about the next world. Because again, if you read the Chamisha Chumshei Torah on a simple level, there isn't really anything explicitly that talks about the immortality of the neshama, that talks about Olam Haba, that talks about where the neshamas go, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, you have to read between the lines to try to find it. Essentially, what the Sfarno is doing over here is he's making good on what he promised he was going to do in his introduction. I'll show you where the Chumash does talk about the immortality of the soul, where the Chumash does talk about Olam Haba. This is an example. What is Vayayosef al Amav? He was gathered to his people. What does that mean, if not the notion that the neshama, you know, went to a place where it joined together with other like-minded neshamas? And then he adds an interesting point. Va'amru amov b'lashon rabim. It talks about not amo, his nation, but amov, which literally is amim shelo, his nations, plural. Right? Avraham Avinu was gathered to his nations, not his nation. So why would on earth would it say his nations? I mean, the whole point is to say that, you know, his like-minded people were his nation. They were like a unit. No, says the Sfarno. Ki omnom rav hahevdel ben at tzadikim b'mayla. You should know, not all tzadikim are on the same level. And even in Olam Haba, not all of the tzadikim are just lumped together on the same level. Im hayosam kulam zochim l'chaye olam, while it's true that all of the tzadikim do merit to have their neshamas go to Olam Haba, but don't think for a moment that they're all just lumped together in Olam Haba. There are different levels, there are different sections in Olam Haba, and different types of tzaddikim are arranged, you know, on different levels. Ka'amram zichrona livracha, as Chazal say in the Gemara Bava Basra, Ayin Heyom Ad Aleph, Shekol echad ve'echad nichve mechupaso shel chaveiro. Chazal say, in the next world, everyone has their own chuppa, their own, we'll call it using COVID terminology, their own bubble. Everybody has their own chuppa, their own, you know, enclosure that encloses them. And if one tzaddik were to approach the chuppa, the bubble of another tzaddik in Olam Haba, he would be burned. Right? Again, obviously it's meant in a somewhat metaphoric sense, but the point is that every tzaddik is arranged in Olam Haba in a place that's unique to them. The place that one tzaddik occupies doesn't make sense for another tzaddik to occupy. Every tzaddik has a different place in Olam Haba. They, so to speak, are burned if they get too close to where each other tzaddik is supposed to be arranged. And that's the Lashon Amav, his nations. He was gathered to be together with other tzaddikim, but these other tzaddikim, including Avraham Avinu, were each arranged, you know, in a place that was appropriate for him. So we find this reference to Olam Haba and to the Hishoarus HaNefesh, the eternity, the immortality of the soul, right here in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos.